broadcasting from the sprawling metropolis of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. This is a slightly twisted opinion. Greetings and welcome to this new and hopefully entertaining podcast. My name is Roy, otherwise known as Roybio to my closer friends and associates. A little bit of background here for you. I'm a freelance writer and a photographer, originally from the New England area, currently dwelling here in PA. So this show is going to have no particular format to it. It's going to be me rambling on about this, that, and the other thing, mostly the other thing. Hopefully I'll make you chuckle or laugh. Hopefully I will not make you cry or have to run off to the bathroom with unplanned gastric distress. So with all that being said, let's jump right into this. If I can find my notes left by my trusted assistant, Philippe. Yes, Philippe, I'm talking about you. He's over there looking at me. Early on, when I was coming up with the idea for this show and debating what content I was going to put in here, I pretty much decided that I was not going to get too much into discussing the Trump administration. After all, how much more can be said about what is the greatest clown show in the history of the world? And Goldilocks and his legions of endless followers, they believe he's the greatest president ever. He believes he has the greatest presidency ever. He still pushes this idea of a nonsensical wall, which will do no good. Anyone determined to get into this country is going to do it, no matter what kind of a wall you have in place. At the very least, they can tunnel under the damn thing. There's other ways to spend billions of dollars than building a stupid wall, but nah. Their xenophobia and their racism guides them, directs them, tells them what to do. I can tell you from personal experience, I've not benefited much from the Trump administration. In fact, his highly touted tax cuts only serve to increase my taxes. Now, when I try to explain this to a friend of mine who is also a staunch Trump supporter, he went into the quasi-illogical logic they use to explain how good things are. He tells me, now, wait a minute, hold on. You got to figure it out. If you take the cost of a dozen eggs in 1962 and divide that by the cost of a box of extra-large condoms in 1983, and you multiply that times the square footage of the base of the pyramid in Egypt, you're actually doing much better. Now, of course, I'm embellishing a little bit here, but not by much. This is a classic example how they go into the what I call Trump mathematics to explain how everything is glorious and beautiful, like a bright, sunshiny laundry detergent ad, when in fact everything's as filthy as you know what. I guess we should all be grateful that, you know, things haven't got worse. Now, this friend of mine, I did explain to him that, you know, my accountant with over 35 years of experience, in a letter that he included with my tax returns to me, stressed very emphatically that under the new tax plan, my obligation to Uncle Sam has gone up significantly. But again, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the facts, just their own figures. So even with the impeachment inquiries and all the other nonsense coming out and all that good stuff, they still see the glass as three quarters full. Not just half full. Hopefully, he will either not be reelected or he'll get impeached. One of the two, with any luck, this strange chapter in American history will soon pass. That was the crow sound effects provided by Philippe. This, as I said, is all kind of new here, being in a broadcast studio. So there's a bunch of buttons and switches, which Philippe, in addition to being an assistant, is also some sort of an audio engineer, has showed me how to work some of this stuff. Still haven't figured it out. But moving on, I don't know how many of you heard this recent story of this pet cafe or pet salon, one of the two, in southwestern China, which has recently taken to using black and white dye to make dogs look like panda bears. Yes, you heard correct. They're making dogs look like panda bears. Apparently, they did this initially with some, I think, chow puppies, and they posted the pictures online, and those photos went viral. Now it's all the rage. For $100, they will make your dog look like a panda. But one has to ask, how convincing would a pug be as a panda? Or even better yet, what about a chihuahua? Would a chihuahua actually look anything like a panda? I mean, even if you had a few drinks and it hit a crack, I don't think so. Now, there are some animal rights groups that have gone as far as to say this is a form of animal abuse. They point out that some of these dyes that are being used can actually irritate the dog's skin, which that makes sense. Dogs are not meant to have dye put on them unless they were those pink poodles down in Miami years ago. So here's a thought. If you have $100 burning a hole in your pocket, you could spend that money on your dog in much better ways. Maybe get some doggy treats. Maybe get your dog a new doggy bed. You know, stuff like that. But don't try to make your dog look like a panda. It's wrong on so many levels. It really is. It's one of those things where it's a passing fad. You know, let it go. You won't be the status symbol of the neighborhood with or without a panda doggy bear thing. So, just saying. Yes, the crows are back. I love that sound effect, I really do. So, there's this other story, which is from several weeks ago, actually, but it kind of burned its way into my head, unlike a lot of stuff. And it concerns this woman who was getting married. I won't mention any names or locations or anything, but during the ceremony, this lady thought she had to pass some gas. Well, actually, she did more than just pass some gas. Yes, she took a dump in her dress. Now, I can imagine this would have been fairly awkward and embarrassing. It's like, Aldase, did you take a crap in your dress? Isn't that a wee bit frisky? So anyways, not only did she soil herself, but she continued on with the wedding, still wearing the soiled dress. Now, I can admire perseverance and the desire to press on no matter what, but that's kind of like pushing the limits right there. It's like if you do a poop like that in your wedding gown, you probably should get changed into something else. Or maybe like have a friend go to like Walmart or something, or Dollar General, and get you like a pair of sweatpants or something, anything to like improvise. You know, I can only imagine what the wedding photographs look like, you know, up at the altar there with the white and brown dress. But it's like, yeah, tenacity is one thing, but that kind of like borders on the ridiculous. So, you know, lesson here, if you ever like have an accident at your wedding, just, you know, get changed. Don't do that. This is wrong. This is really wrong. So looking at my other notes here, trying to find my cup of coffee, which Philippe did not put where I wanted it to. Philippe goes and makes coffee for me. And what really creeps me out is he goes in the bathroom to do it. When the coffee maker's in the other room, we're like on a floor here with six broadcast studios. We are in 3B, which I think is a converted broom closet, because A, it's kind of small, and it smells like urinal cakes and mothballs. Across the hall is Studio 4, which is some sort of a satellite show for health-conscious people, and there's a lot of women coming and going wearing yoga pants and cardigan sweaters. And there's funny noises that come out of there sometimes. Sounds something like a T-Rex giving birth. And Philippe spends a lot of time in there. Don't know why. But anyway, yeah, I'm talking about you again, Philippe. Moving on. This past July, we celebrated and recognized the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, which occurred in July of 1969. Going through some of the Instagram postings that were celebrating the milestone, I was surprised and somewhat disgusted to read the number of people who post comments with the firm belief that the moon landings were some sort of strange hoax perpetuated by the government. Now, this stupid idea has been circulating for a number of years now. And these fine folks who came up with this are, first of all, looking to make a fast buck. Sell a few books, put out a TV show, some such nonsense. All of their so-called evidence to support their theory that the moon landings were a hoax, just, they don't make no sense. They don't add up. They don't hold weight. And most of the folks who perpetuate this theory are also the same people who are gainfully unemployed and probably living in their parents' basements. And they also believe the Earth is flat, too, I'm sure. I mean, let's kind of bottom line this here. We landed on the moon six times. There was Apollo 11, 12, 13 didn't make it, obviously. 14, 15, 16, and the last flight was Apollo 17, which occurred in December of 1972. Okay. If you're going to come up with this grand, huge hoax, why not do it just once? And say, okay, yeah, we did it, but it's kind of dangerous or something. There was some sort of weird thing that happened on the moon to the astronauts. We dare not go back again, but we did it. Why would you do something like that repeatedly and run the risk of getting caught? You know, it's like doing something illegal or stupid once, getting away with it, and then doing it again. Sooner or later, you're going to get caught or exposed. And the other side of the coin here is, no one reputable has ever come forward to talk. There were a lot of people involved with the Apollo project. If this were this grand hoax, someone would have talked eventually. There would have been a deathbed confession, or for the right amount of money, someone would have said something. Because believe me, everyone has a price. But no one has done that. No one credible. I'm not talking about some guy who worked at the Sunoco station in Cocoa Beach, Florida, who says, oh, something looked funny about the Saturn V on liftoff. No, I'm not talking about people like that. I'm talking about credible people involved with the project. None of them, no one, nada, zilch, has said a word. So let me sidestep here for a second. Let me talk about Cats. No, not the Broadway play. Cats, you know, the furry, funny little creatures with the pointy ears, a tail, and the four legs. Most of us have cats. I have two cats along with the three dogs. Well, one cat actually thinks it is a dog, but that's a story for another day. So, now cats, especially stray cats, have this nagging habit of getting into places where they don't belong. Now, to have hoaxed the moon landings, they would have had to have had a very large building in which to film these supposed moonwalks. Okay, because if you look at some of these images and some of these videos, this is a huge landscape we're talking about here. Granted, you could do some forced perspective, which is a photogrammetric technique to make things look more distant, but you can only carry that so far. Trust me, I know, I'm a photographer. So they would have needed a really big building to do this in. And sooner or later, someone would have left a back door open in this building. And through that back door, I guarantee a stray cat would have walked in. Stray cat would have come in, and right in the middle of filming, this cat would have walked right across the moon behind the astronauts. Now, if you want to convince me that your stupid hoax moon landing theory is true, show me that picture of that cat walking around the moon with the astronauts. I don't care what kind of cat it is. It could be a calico, a black cat, a Persian, whatever. I don't care. In fact, it doesn't even have to be walking around on the moon. It could be just be sitting in the background with one rear leg up in the air, licking its ass. I don't care. Just show me that picture of that cat on the moon with the astronauts, and I will believe your stupid moon hoax landing theory. Otherwise, if you can't do that, just shut up, get a job, move out of your parents' basement. And by the way, the Earth isn't flat either. Oh, and get your kids vaccinated too while you're at it. Yes, the crows are back. So anyways, I'm going to sidestep here and talk about something we're all kind of familiar with, and that's fast food. You know fast food. It's basically garbage. It'll kill you more ways than you can count. It's very unhealthy, but it's cheap, it's easy, it's efficient. Much like some of my former lovers. A couple of quick tips. Not tips, sorry. A couple of quick facts here for you. It's estimated that next year, Americans will spend over $200 billion in fast food. And that's a lot of fries. There are currently more than 300,000 fast food restaurants in the United States. Now, what does that say about our dietary habits here? Let's see. At some fast food chains, managers are rewarded bonuses when they lower employees' wages to save money. I mean, working retail is crap anyways as far as pay is concerned without making it worse, right? And here's another interesting statistic. I need another cup of coffee here, Philippe. I can't talk. It is said that kids who eat fast food on a regular basis do worse in school than kids who do not eat fast food. So I'm guessing that it's not exactly brain food, is it? Now here's fast food is no longer fast food. Anyone who's gone through a drive-thru recently knows what I'm talking about. And a friend of mine and I, we recently went to Wendy's one night to get some Frosties and maybe some of their bacon cheeseburgers. It took us almost 14 minutes just to get to the order screen. Not the window, but just the order screen. Now, by the time we got up to that point, I'm getting so giddy and goofy, I start doing, you know, Renfield. You know, Dracula's sidekick, you know, yes, master. Yeah. I'm doing this as my friend is trying to order, and she can't keep a straight face because of my hijinks. I understand that these places are, like, shorthanded these days. But the other side of that coin is fast food restaurants. I use restaurant in its loosest possible term here. They're trying to do too much. You try to do too much, in the end, you don't do too much efficiently. You accomplish nothing, especially in that business. It used to be, what was it, burgers, fries, a shake, and maybe a soda. That's all that was on the menu. Now we get all the fancy stuff. We got the McCafes and the, you know. I love the video screen menus in these places where they make the food look like, you know, something gourmet from Chateau Leclerc when it's actually, you know, slop from Chateau La Toilette. So, now here's the other, how many people have gone through a drive-thru and there's someone who will actually walk up to the drive-up window? I had this happen. It was just about my turn to get to the window. And this woman who previously had gone through the window in her vehicle came back and walked up to the window just because, I guess, apparently there was the wrong toy in her kid's Happy Meal. And despite the fact there was a sign saying, no, you can't walk up to the window because, first of all, A, it's a serious safety hazard. She's standing here complaining about this lack of the correct toy. The woman inside is trying to tell her, ma'am, you need to come inside. We'll take care of this. But, oh, no. No, she had to stand there and complain and rant until, you know, they rectified the incorrect toy in her Happy Meal. Now, for a moment there, I was sitting there thinking about stepping on the gas and maybe somehow persuading her to move. But, you know, I didn't want any legal charges, so I, you know, strayed from that notion pretty quick. Finally, they did get her toy to her and sent her on her merry way. There was another time I was passing through Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, on the way to work, and I decided to stop at one of the McDonald's out there to get a quick breakfast. Well, in front of me, in line, inside, there was this lady who had ordered their deluxe, super, jumbo, mega, fantastic breakfast. You know, comes with the pancakes, the hash browns, which actually like, you know, roof shingles with salt, and whatever else they put in there. And this woman, she tells the girl behind the counter that she's willing to pay for the meal, but she does not want the pancakes in the meal. Well, this is some sort of problem for the girl behind the counter, because she informed the lady that she had to take the pancakes. And the woman goes, I don't want the pancakes. Don't put them in the meal. I don't want them. Well, the girl insists that she has to take the pancakes with the meal if she's paying for it. And the lady's like, well, why? You know. And of course, being the wise ass that I am, I chimed in and said, look, I'll take the pancakes if she don't want them. And the snappy little 17-year-old girl snaps back, no, sir, you can't have the pancakes. She has to take the pancakes. It's like, well, I'll tell you what. Her and I will go out back, and she'll give me the pancakes in a plain paper bag, and no one will ever know the difference. How's that sound? So, I guess, I don't know, maybe they have to, like, inventory their pancakes or something. And if there's, like, two pancakes over or something in inventory, it's, like, a big-ass problem that will get Ronald McDonald involved or something. I don't know. It's like, there hasn't been an oratory debate like this since Gettysburg did the address, you know, Lincoln. You know, it's like, what? Just... So, I couldn't waste any more time. I just had to move on and go because I didn't have time to stand there for the great pancake debate of Gettysburg. So, yet again, another example how fast food is no longer fast. And I guess if you pay for the pancakes, you better take them if you know what's good for you. Moving on here. It's almost time to wrap this up here in our premiere episode, and the crows are yet again chiming in there. So, Now, next week, it's that time of the year, and it's the holidays. We just wrapped up Thanksgiving not too long ago. I had a few guests over at the house, not too many. A little bit of turkey, a little bit of stuffing, all the good stuff. Plenty of eggnog, a little bit of vodka. My dog, one of my dogs, graciously came out in the dining room and took a dump on the floor right in front of everyone. It kind of put a kibosh on dessert, to say the least. But, you know, hey, the dog has his own way of doing things. I think he was just trying to get rid of the people, which I'm kind of, you know, grateful for. But so next week, it's going to be the holiday episode here. I'm going to discuss Christmas. Yeah, Christmas. Oh, Christmas. And I'm going to go into the dark side of Christmas. Okay, I'm not going to go into the jingle bells and, you know, look, Daddy, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. No, 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 no. I'm going to go into the dark side of Christmas. The side of Christmas that nobody knows about. Nor do you want to. Believe me, it's fascinating stuff, and it's going to be a little funny, too. And so, but anyways. Yes, Philippe. Could you get me more coffee, please, instead of just sitting here? Before I go here, listen, we're kind of like downtown here at the studio, and we're kind of like down a back alley off of 2nd Street, down another little alley, or it's a sidewalk, one of the two, I don't know which, and there's a parking lot we have out behind the building. Well, I have my own little reserve space, which I had to pay for, so I pull in my Mustang. Well, actually, it's not my Mustang, it belongs to a friend, and next to me is Philippe's reserve space, which he doesn't have to pay for. And in Philippe's space, there is a Ferrari Testarossa. A black Ferrari Testarossa. Now, apparently, Philippe is getting paid a lot of money to do whatever he does here. And so it's like, yeah, your Ferrari. What year is that, Philippe? 85? Okay, 85. I thought it was an 84. Was it about 84 they came out with those? Yeah, okay, 85. All right, it's an 85 Ferrari Testarossa. And at the moment, it's sitting there beside, well, what's not my Mustang, but it's there. You know, it's like, really, Philippe? What do you mean, which Ferrari? You mean you got more than one? What do you do? No, don't tell me. Philippe, he's like funny and not in a ha-ha way, okay? And he wears these plaid pants, which look like he got them from a salesman in 1978. Actually, he probably got them from the salesman who sold him the Ferrari. Now, granted, I'm not a fashion icon. Right now, I'm wearing black leggings. Although I do look damn good in leggings. I mean, it shows my junk, but you know what? Sue me. But yeah, Philippe is highly unusual. And it's like, he intentionally hides my notes here. He prepares my notes on this little tablet, which I've yet to learn how to work. So it's like, Philippe, I told you to write it down. Paper, Philippe. Paper. But, anyways. Yeah, so, what was I saying before I rambled on there? So the holiday episode coming up, a lot of good episodes coming up here. It's going to be fun. I invite you to not only listen, well, obviously that's the first step, right? You got to listen. Listen, subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts or broadcasts, whatever we call this new medium we're playing with here. It's going to be fun. You don't want to miss none of this because this is just the beginning here. I'm getting warmed up here. I'm figuring out the buttons here. And so, as I said, you definitely want to not miss next week. Ah, the crows. The crows. Here. Oh, my goodness. Well, so thank you for listening. Hopefully, you will listen again next time around. And like I said, this is going to be fun. So stay tuned.